David Hawkins, we're back in the Congressional Corner, and you are now the editor of a spanking new enterprise, The Firewall, which is going to be very interesting to follow. I know I will. And how do you get there again? What is it? You got a firewall?
Firewall.us is our website. The website's under construction, but you can sign up on that website for a newsletter, an email newsletter. Get on our mailing list, and we'll start pushing stuff out to you early in the new year. But as you say, we're brand spanking new, and it's gonna. We're still flexing our muscles and trying to figure out precisely what we're going to send people and when we're going to send it to them. But we will. It'll be good stuff when we send it.
So, David Hawkins, knowing your work, I have no doubt about that. So let's talk about the new Congress. So we now have Nancy Pelosi. We're assuming she gets elected as the Speaker as we talk today. We do see them having an extra 40 seats. They're well in command of their membership, the Democrats. And what do you expect we can count on happening?
I think what we can expect to count on happening is a couple of things. One will be, as we talked about the last time, will be the new speaker, Ms. Pelosi, who I think it's as we speak, she's not yet got the gavel, but I think it's a pretty certain deal. They're going to put three bills out there to try and reopen the government, three different options, none of which are really worth going into the details about. They would fund the government in slightly different ways for slightly different amounts of time. Each one has certain constituencies. What they all share in common, however, is zero for the president's border wall. So these are more messaging bills than anything else, we think, at this point. We do think that there will be some negotiating, but at least at the start, you know, Mrs. Pelosi and the Democrats want to show that they're interested in reopening the government on no strings attached terms right away. After that, you know, we're going to see in the first couple of weeks a blizzard of oversight activity by this new House Democratic majority. They were stymied almost entirely in their efforts to try and do any oversight of the Trump administration for the past 2 years. There is enormous pent-up demand. And this is not just the super sexy stuff, to do with Robert Mueller and the president's, potential obstructions of justice or interference in the, collusion with the Russians, if there is any. This also goes to, tons and tons of good government issues, basic functioning of government, ethics in government, travel, stuff that in the olden days, or certainly in the Clinton days, was headlines in and of itself, but it's sort of fallen to the back burner. Tons of that will be happening. And then I'm guessing after the government is reopened, the first big bill that Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats want to put on the floor is a bill that is right in the firewall's wheelhouse. It's got the name H.R. 1, and it is a comprehensive good government overhaul package. It would start a system of some public funding of congressional races where the government would match small donor donations and would more than match them. It would require the states to do away with politicization of their congressional map-making processes and turn that process over to nonpartisan actors. It would require the presidential nominees to turn over their tax returns right after becoming the nominees of their parties, and sort of dozens of other things, limit first class air travel, for example, by government officials. This is a bill that has overwhelming support in among the Democrats. It'll pass with along party lines. And then it, like so many of the other things we've already been talking about, will go to a indefinite hiatus in the still Republican Senate.
So what's the purpose of doing it? Sort of, it sets the Senate up in a way, doesn't it?
It sets the Senate up, right? It highlights the fact that it's 2020 is just around the corner in some ways. It applies some pressure on some Senate. It'll apply some pressure on Mitch McConnell, who says this H.R. 1 bill, this government reform, political reform package, he has no interest in putting before the Senate. It shines some light on him. Presumably helps the Democrats, raise more money, get started on the campaign, and maybe put some pressure on some Republicans who are in tight races in 2020, some Republican senators, people like Susan Collins of Maine, Cory Gardner of Colorado, people who are Republicans running in purple or potentially blue states next time, to apply pressure to McConnell to get off the dime. But more than anything else, yes, it's what they call a messaging bill. It's saying, here we are, we're the Democrats, this is what we stand for, this is why you elected us. If you keep us in power, this is the kind of thing we'll continue to emphasize with our majority.
You speak of McConnell, who is one of the people that I most don't admire. And my question is, has he played his cards correctly?
You know, by and large, he has played his cards correctly over the course of his career. You know, he's now the longest running Republican Senate Republican leader in the history of Senate leadership, which goes back more than a century. And he's played his own cards right. He's still super popular among Senate Republicans. He has, you know, the biggest gambit of his career. The decision to basically hold a Supreme Court seat hostage for a year until the presidential election happened paid off for him and for his party and for conservatives. He generally knows what he's doing, and it plays out for him. Now, as we're talking right now, he has sort of absented himself from this government shutdown thing in kind of an interesting way. Usually he's the deal cutter. He's the guy who says, let's get in a room and figure out, you know, let's all be adults and figure out what's plausible and not be ideologically rigid, but just get something done. And to this point, at least as we're talking now, he's back in Kentucky waiting for the new Congress to begin, not really trying to force negotiations, essentially blaming things on Democrats and also on the president.
Let me switch gears here for a moment and ask you, have there been any leaks at what Mueller has or hasn't got and what he's up to? And you only have about 2.5 minutes for that.
Oh, gosh. Are there leaks as to what he's up to? Really not much. And it's if there are any leaks, I mean, there have been leaks that say, oh, we're getting close. You know, we're writing our final report. And almost every news outlet that in the country has written stories saying, you know, Mueller's putting the finishing touches on what he's going to have to say. And they're writing the final report, and it's almost done. But they've been writing those stories now for months. And, of course, at least as we speak, no announcement from Mr. Mueller that he has finished his work. And we should hasten to add that it is not up to Mueller to stand in front of the microphones by himself and announce what he's got. And this is the first big challenge for the guy who's the acting attorney general, Mr. Whitaker. What is supposed to happen by law is Mueller is supposed to turn over what he's got to his boss, who is Whitaker at the moment. And it's supposed to be up to Whitaker to say, here's what we're going to announce and here's what we're not going to announce. So it's Mueller does not have the unilateral power to make a headline all by himself. He's got to get his bosses at the Justice Department to buy in. So yeah, we might not even know when Mueller turns things over whether he's done so until we hear from Whitaker what he is or is not going to do with it.
So I only got a minute on this, David Hawkins, but let me ask you this real quickly. If the House of Representatives subpoenas that report, will they get it?
You know, that's I don't know. It's a potential sort of constitutional crisis. What is subpoena? Is such a document subpoenaable? I am not exactly sure. That would certainly be, that's what the Democrats say they're going to do if Whitaker twice tries to keep it under wraps. You know, that would be the kind of constitutional crisis that we've all been sort of fearing for the last year and a half. Will they get it? Will they have to go to court to get it? Will the John Roberts Supreme Court side with the House on this? You know, I don't pretend to know.
It's always wonderful to have David Hawkins, who knows most things. He is now the editor-in-chief of Firewall. That's firewall.us, a nonprofit news site focused on American democracy. And he's also the former senior editor of CQ and Roll Call. David, a joy to have you. We'll come back one more time, and we'll have some more fun.
Looking forward to it.